Good morning. Welcome back to the Garden Line. Sunday edition of Garden Line. Good morning, everyone. I'm Randy Lemon, and this hour, we're going to talk soils. We're going to talk mulches. We're going to talk compost. We talk specifically compost teas, two-year-old leaf mold compost. Why? How? What? When? Well, that's because John Ferguson, the overlord of organics, the master of mulch, the king of the two-year-old leaf mold. I need a good alliteration for two-year-old leaf mold compost. The tycoon of two-year-old leaf mold compost. Does that work for you?
I like the one the other day you used, the sultan of soil.
The sultan of soil is always the good one. The Kaiser of compost. The master of mulch. Help us come up with some of those good alliterations today, my listening audience. Come on, Dennis. You're on, buddy. You always send me good ones on that. Dennis is a wordsmith, bar none, so he's into etymology like I am. So, good morning.
Well, hey, Randy.
Thanks for giving up some of your Sunday morning, considering what happened early this morning.
Hey, it's one of those things.
Always one of those fears when you wear glasses that, you know, you lose the little screw and you can't find it in the mornings. Oh, man. What a bummer. Sorry to let everybody know your little pain this morning. But
that's okay.
A little glass problem. Glasses, eyeglasses, spectacles. All right. We're going to open it wide open for everybody. If it's a soil question, if it's a mulch question, the biology thereof, the compost question, I've got a few already for you because I got a couple of interesting situations that have come up. Fun, just quirky little situations I want to ask you about. And if you got any of those questions, if you want to go to John Ferguson and ask this kind of specific question, okay, explain it to me. What's the beauty of two-year-old leaf? How in the world does it work? Guys, all I know is it works. Two-year-old leaf mold compost as a take-all patch control has been a godsend for the Houston area, and it's organic to boot. So we may actually overcome, if we can get more and more people to use two-year-old leaf mold compost and catch it early enough, kind of tough, but we could do that. So are you ready for anything and everything along soil?
Let's roll, Randy. I'm ready.
John, first off, I want you to give everybody just, if you can, a one-minute overview. Last time we talked, I wrote it down because I thought, it's not about whether you're organic or not. It's about the biology of the soil.
Correct, Randy. We've learned so much in the last 10 years in soil science that biology controls most of the disease, pest problems we see. If we get the biology right, the problems go away.
Right.
We can turn heavy clay into loose loam. We can make sand hold water nutrients better. We can just eliminate disease problems by working on the biology.
It's not about, you know, you got to be 100% organic and shove it in their face. It's just that what we have, and really, I fall into that category because when I first started doing Garden Line 12 years ago, well, we didn't know all this stuff that we know today.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Plus, you know, like a lot of new things, when the organics was getting started, there were a lot of snake oil on the market. I know you've talked about that. And we're starting to get that out of the market and getting the good products, you know, like Microlife.
I have told people this, and I've written about this. I am more and more pleased every year as we go along that we are getting the shysters out of the business and the snake oil salesmen, and that the products that are coming along are so good and do such a remarkable job and aren't near as costly as they were 12 years ago.
Oh, yeah. There have actually been a lot of studies done at the agricultural level, and organics works cheaper than chemicals and gives you better results.
And you and I have gone through this, trading emails and stuff. I've asked him, and someone can throw this question John's way. People will, when they call you, maybe for the first time, you tell them how much a cubic yard of mulch or a cubic yard of compost costs from you guys. Sometimes they choke a little bit because they're used to paying half again that much for really bad mulch or really bad compost. And you had a great way of explaining that to me, and I was trying to share that with some email tip subscribers.
Yeah, actually, since the last time I was on the show, that question came up. I wrote a little tip sheet. It's on our website called Why Are Some Products So Cheap? And it explains that many vendors cut corners to get the price down. Well, first of all, they don't take 2 years. They'll throw a product out in 4 or 5 weeks. And it has a very high carbon-to-nitrogen ratio. It's green. It sucks nitrogen from your plants, creating stress, and you get disease and insect problems as a result. One of my pet peeves is the guys that take, you know, boiler ash and burn stuff black and call it compost or mulch.
Will you please tell me how this even came to be? I'm sorry to get off on a tangent, but if we could solve this problem, I can retire.
Yep. Well, basically, you have boiler ash.
Let me explain. Let's back up.
Okay.
Tell everybody what we're talking about in general here.
Well, we're talking about a lot of these black mulches or black compost people call on the market. There's, when you burn coal or burn other products, there's ash that accumulates in the bottom of the burner. This has all your heavy metals in it. It can have all kind of contaminants in it. It's very alkaline, more alkaline than Drano. And it's a hazardous waste that has to be gotten rid of. So vendors can get paid to take it. They can mix it into their compost or the stuff
mulches
they're calling
is
mulch.
Where we normally see it. You see it both. Shredded hardwood mulch mixed with this
boiler ash,
yep. And it gives it a darker look, and that's what everybody thinks they're after.
You add a little water to it, and it's so alkaline, it chemically burns it black in about 48 hours.
It's very toxic.
It's full of heavy metals. It's very alkaline, salts.
But you see it at mulch yards all the time, and people see that darkness,
profitable.
And they go, ooh, that's what I want.
It's very profitable for people. Even though it's terrible for gardening.
It goes back to a question I asked, and you helped me work on this piece, but when I did the thing about rubber mulch.
Yeah.
And you've got a big write-up on rubber mulch on your website. By the way, everybody, your website?
Oh, www.naturesawayresources.com.
Yeah, very easy, and we reference it a lot on the Gardenline program. When we were doing the rubber mulch kind of workup and everything, all that, I put the recycling of tires, now this recycling of this ash. Why is it when something's toxic out there, they think that needs to go in my garden?
Well,
where did this ever come from?
It goes to honesty and vendors that just want to make money. They don't care about the end result.
No, I'm saying whenever they bring up the recycling in, it's a great way for us to recycle. But why is it when it's toxic, they always want to put it in my garden?
Part of it's ignorance. And part of it's just unscrupulous vendors.
All right. Well, if you take one thing away today, besides the two-year-old leaf mold compost we just talked about, which we'll get into detail too, please, if you listen to Gardenline, I beg you, I implore you, do not use the ash-infused mulches in your landscape beds. I can see them, and I see how it's damaging the plants. You have this weakened, necrotic look on the plants because the root systems aren't able to handle it.
Correct. It kills off the beneficial microbes, ties up nitrogen, and go on and on. It's just bad.
It's a bad thing. All right. Also, not to totally slam rubber mulches. They have a place, playgrounds, running tracks. I like the idea of being able to use them. I love the idea of recycling the tires. I just don't want them in my landscape beds, and I don't want them around the base of my trees. So there are places for rubber mulch to be recycled, just not in my landscape, because they, too, are leaching chemicals that are damaging to the soil.
Correct. And there's a big paper out on my website that goes into that. I took every claim on the different advertisers and went through all the scientific literature and refuted them one by one.
Very good. Thank you very much for doing that. We appreciate that, because we tied that into our tip sheet on rubber mulch a couple of years ago on that. All right, so John Ferguson, the monarch of mulch, the overlord of, what did I write there? I made a little note. The overlord of organic soils, the sultan of soil, the king of compost. He is here. We are going to get to your calls in just a second. I want to line up an entire board of nothing but calls for. And we can intersperse like three soil questions to one generic question. If anybody just has to get their question in before they go to church today, Daniel, I'll let you be the overlord of that. You're going to have to be the gatekeeper, kind of intermix. We got nothing but soil questions, compost questions, great. But if someone has a lemon question or you just got to get it in before you get to church, feel free. 713-212-KTRH, 713-212-5874. John Ferguson, Nature's Way Resources, along for the ride this hour, 713-212-KTRH. By the way, John gave out his website, natureswayresources.com, www.natureswayresources.com. Also, Monday through Friday, normal business hours, your phone number.
936-321-6990 is the Houston Metro number.
And you can get my book there.
Yep,
and you
got
can
your
get
book.
All these little organic things I talked about this morning, from greening up plants with liquid organics, little granules, some soil amendments. They have in their kind of pseudo retail store, kind of the office for the soils and mulches, they sell, you guys go out of your way and sell organic products.
Yeah. We got about 50 some odd organic products we carry. Then we got about probably a dozen books good for this area too.
By the way, you got to get. Let me reach here. You got to get this one.
Oh, okay.
Eventually. This is great. Even though it's Texas.
Right.
And it's not just Houston specific, you'll love this. There's some great write-ups from Dr. Good. Doug in there that very are applicable to this area. It just came out about 2 weeks ago, and is a really well-done book. We're talking about Doug Welch's Texas Garden Almanac, and he's going to be in town on this program next week, about this exact same, Saturday, about this exact same time, 8 o'clock. Doug will be in for the ride. All right, let's take the quick break. We'll be back with these calls for John Ferguson at Nature's Way Resources. Let's go. John Ferguson here. Got a pretty full board of calls. We're ready to get to it. But
let's
first
go,
and
Randy.
Foremost, I get this little purslane weed that pops up. And, you know, we've talked about this before. The compost, when I use it as a mulch now, seems to do a good job of just burning off weeds in general.
Correct.
However.
Okay. In making of the compost, the piles get 170 degrees Fahrenheit. It only takes 3 days at 120 to kill weed seeds. But what happens, Randy, we got wind, seed-borne, the wind, we got bird droppings, and compost will make seeds germinate because it makes everything grow better.
It's that top half-inch layer. It's just, it's a perfect site for a weed seed to blow in.
It's usually a real small weed seed.
Because I've had people argue the point when they, Randy, you said you're using it as a compost, and I've got weeds galore. Well, then you've had a lot of weed seeds blowing. It's not in the compost. That's the whole point I want to make.
But it makes a lot of things wake up. But as it gets into the soil gets healthier, a lot of the weeds will no longer germinate.
And real quick, actually, for anybody who's into the biology of the soils like you and I have become, you mentioned two things. One, the big difference between you and I when we were in college, it was about chemistry back then.
Yeah, chemistry and physics.
And now it's about the biology. And I've mentioned my book. I mentioned Doug's book, Great Christmas Gifts. If someone is into compost and stuff, this is a good book for them this Christmas.
Well, there's a brand new book. It came out for gardeners, homeowners. And it's called Teeming with Microbes. It's a gardener's guide to the soil food web by Jeff Lowenfels and Wayne Lewis. And it's just for homeowners. It is excellent. It's all the latest research.
Teeming with Microbes.
And for a Christmas present for you.
Oh, thank you very much. I really appreciate that. And it's one of John's favorite words, right? Microbes. So our alliteration game today is going to be he's the Maharaja of microbes. He's the Mujahideen. No, I don't want to use that word. So, give me a good, I need another good M word for tying in with microbes now, besides mold. The master of microbes. We already did master of mold.
Yep.
So, all right, let's get rolling. I got a bunch of questions for you on board here. Here is a buddy in the 1960 area. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning. First question, I asked him to repeat his phone number. I couldn't get it written down in time.
Okay, 936-321-6990.
Okay. Now, my question is about a combination of compost and soil treatment and tree selection. Son's got a new home up in the Champions Crossing area, and we want to find out about one tree that the builder put in. He doesn't know if it's a white oak or a red oak, so I want to know what the difference is and characteristics of that tree or those two different trees.
Well, I don't think we're going to be able to help you with that one, really, per se.
Yeah, we'd have to see some leaf. Without seeing it, it's hard to say, but they're both native to this area. They both would do well, have about the same requirements, so not a big difference there.
Okay, but it would be an okay tree for that area.
Red oak, they have a thing called a Schumard red oak, which is perfect for that area.
Okay. Now, the other thing is we do want to put some more trees in the backyard. I had two questions. One, what tree to use, like something that would shed leaves in the winter, but mainly the soil, the builder tells me, is just native clay under anywhere from 2 to 6 inches of sand, which they brought in for fill. So when we get ready to plant the tree, should we put some of that compost down in the hole that we dig out to put the tree in?
Oh, definitely.
Mix it with some existing soil.
Bingo. That's what I was going to say, and till it into the top 4 or 5 inches. Don't go real deep because your feeder roots are going to be shallow. If you've got a clay layer and a sand layer and there's no grass, I'd mix it, mix in the compost and get that more evened up.
Let me give you a little inside secret, and this is something we can go back and change on the website eventually, but in the planting trees and shrubs tip sheet that we have on the website and in my book, we talk about using a permanent soil amendment to mix with the existing soil. Good high levels of compost, really good compost, such as 2-year-old leaf mold compost, would be a permanent soil amendment to mix with the existing soil to give you that broken up aeration.
Oh, no, definitely, Randy. Plus, it'll make the tree, instead of getting 2 feet a year, you get 5 or 6 foot a year growth on it. I mean, it's amazing what it does.
All right. The leading. Look, I knew Dennis would come up. He's got you as the mentor of microbes.
Okay.
And for the two-year-old leaf mold compost, you're the leading majestic czar of leaf mold compost.
Right. Okay.
Just so I wanted to get that out real quick. All right. So, buddy, we can't do the trees. Does that help with the soil?
Last question about the soil. Is there some place, there's a place down at Clear Lake area, is there some place down here we could buy it by the yard?
Not by the cubic yard. Tom Thumb Nursery in Galveston Island has it in bags, and there's other places.
Yeah, Lake Hardware in Angleton and Clute sells it by the bags, too. But if you're just doing trees, you just need a couple of bags. You really, because you're doing 4 or 5 parts dirt to 1 part of this compost as the permanent soil amendment. All right, next up is going to be Willie in Northwest Houston. Morning, Willie.
Morning, guys. I've got a little question about a yard. I sprayed my yard for nut grass 6 months ago with a over-the-counter treatment. 4 weeks later, I'm seeing some results on the nut grass, not killing it totally, but knocking it down pretty good. So another 2 weeks later, I hit it again. Yeah.
You shouldn't have done it. Why didn't you call me first?
I wish I would have now.
Yeah, if you used Image.
Is there anything I can do to neutralize what has been done or to start preparing?
Absolutely. And you're talking to the right man right here in John Ferguson for
a
that.
A good age compost, the microbes in it will break down the chemicals and help restore the health of the lawn.
And let's get into this just a little bit as an example, Willie, here. And listen up, Willie, because this is important. People with two-year-old leaf mold compost, you have that melting it out of the yard and everything. This is what brings it back. It doesn't happen overnight. And obviously nothing's going to happen in the month of December here.
Correct.
And maybe January. But by the time things warm up in the springtime and you've got this good layer of compost down and you do it again in the spring and summertime, it's amazing what happens to the soil structure.
Oh, yeah. You can take heavy clay and turn it into loose loam. You can make sand tighten up and hold water, nutrients. And the microbes, they'll eat these chemicals. And one of the reasons we use 2 years, you know, we use some grass and leaves and things as part of our feedstock, you know, hay, manure from bedding. And they may have herbicides on it. Herbicides have a half-life of 90 days in a compost pile. So if you don't go at least 18 months minimum, you don't break them down, and the compost is actually toxic to plants.
Very nice. Hey, real quick. Now, you know what? Hold on to this thought. I'm going to ask the question. Hold on to this thought. Let's explain this when we come back. I've gotten this email, and this has happened to me, so I know where these emails are coming from. People that are using the two-year-old leaf mold compost maybe as a brown patch treatment, it seems to extract the brown patch and make it seem worse right away. You know what I'm saying? It's pulling it out. And hold on to that.
Yeah.
I want you to try to explain that from a biology standpoint, and I'll set the stage for you again right after this news break. This is The Garden Line. John Ferguson, Nature's Way Resources, is here for the rest of this half hour and this hour of 8 to 9 o'clock here on The Garden Line. And if you've got a compost, two-year-old leaf mold compost, a mulch question, a soil question, now's the time, 713-212-KTRH. Again, I'm Randy Lemon, and this is The Garden Line. This is The Garden Line, News Radio 740, KTRH. I'm Randy Lemon. You're listening to The Garden Line. John Ferguson, our guest this hour. When I've seen this situation. It happened to me over a year ago. And I'll counter with but hang on, good news is ahead. And I've had people basically kind of chew me out via email. They will put out the compost because they think they're going to control brown patch. But if you are prone to brown, like you've had it really bad, it seems to extract it out at a higher rate, or it just makes it look worse. What's going on there?
Well, actually, you hit the nail on the head, Randy. It makes it look worse. That dark color of the compost makes that yellowing, diseased leaves stand out a bit more. So it makes it look worse at first. Also, the microbes in the compost, they're smart critters. They know when a grass blade is diseased or sick or infected, and they start attacking that one because they know it's going to die anyway. So they start attacking it, and it only leaves the good ones. That's why it kind of looks worse at first, then it comes back.
I think it does extract it out.
Yeah, it actually attacks the
sick. I think it is pulling it out.
Yeah, it extracts.
And why it immediately looks like it's growing or looks worse.
Yeah,
But then 6 weeks later, you will be surprised that it doesn't look as bad as it would have had you left it to its own devices.
Correct. Then it'll come in and heal up, green up, and get thick again.
All right. Last question I have before we get back to the phone lines, full board.
Mm-hmm.
Is it still okay if it's not freezing weather to put out compost as a top dressing?
Yeah. You can put it out any time of the year. You know, in cold weather, the microbes are slower. They don't work as fast, which doesn't hurt, doesn't burn.
Okay.
That's fair one game. Thing nice.
Here we go. John in Baytown. Good morning, John.
Good morning. I've got a couple of fruit tree questions and then a compost question, if you don't mind.
All right, real quick, okay, because you've got a full board behind you. If you have three questions, go at length. We're going to be in trouble here.
All right, first of all, I've got two Satsuma trees that have thorns on them, and I didn't get any fruit out of them last year. They're relatively about 2 years old.
Grown from seed?
No, I got them from a nursery.
Okay.
And all the Satsuma trees I see in the nurseries just say Satsuma on them, though. They don't tend to have a variety or anything.
That's not a good sign. That means you're not going to an independent nursery or garden center and getting a named variety. That's bad news. And like the fruit tree sales that are coming up that we have listed on our website, they're going to have named varieties, specific named varieties of these Satsuma trees that you're going for. What worries me about a Satsuma that's covered in thorns right now is that it was grown from seed, and whoever sold you those grew it from seed and lied to you about whether it was a grafted variety or not.
Well, it does appear to have a graft close to the base, but somebody has told me that if it's thorns on it, it's not going to bear fruit.
And not now, but maybe in 8 to 10 years it will.
Okay.
Yeah, also the other thing I've seen happen in my own yard, I had a variety that had beautiful fruit for years, and all of a sudden it reverted back. Mm-hmm.
And that may be what happened. You're going through reversion, but you still have to wait it out. Yeah. On this, or get a one at the fruit tree sales this coming winter. We'll talk a lot about them coming in January, okay?
All right. Suggestions on where to get fruit trees in my area around Baytown?
French's Garden Center.
Okay.
That'd be the only place that's like an independent nursery garden center that would have it. You need to come into the fruit tree sales that are all the county extension agents. There's one at Clear Lake. You just hop over the Hartman Bridge and come on over to the Clear Lake area. That's going to be in February.
Yeah, Galveston County Master Gardeners will have one.
Galveston County, Montgomery County.
Harris County, Urban Harvest.
Just check our website. You got to go to the archives right now, the past email tips, but... January 1st, it's going to be prominently listed on my webpage.
Okay. Well, I'll keep an eye on that. I just bought several more at the Houston Garden Centers. Any feeling on those? They say Satsuma.
Yeah, that if they don't have an itemized name on it, I would take them back. I'm probably not going to get your money back at a place like that. But you really need to stick to known names because you could be falling in the same category.
Okay. Now, the compost. I started a compost in a plastic garbage can type container because of the convenience. I can keep it close to my back door, take stuff out of the kitchen and put in there. Any pros or cons to that? And should I drill holes in the bottom of it?
Good question. Getting started, your own little compost bin.
Okay. One of the things that have good compost are oxygen to the microbes. When you have a solid wall plastic bin, it cuts off your airflow. Without oxygen, you get pathogens growing. You get anaerobic conditions, fermentation, often odors, alcohols produced, and you don't get a good compost out. So definitely put holes in it, both in the sides as well as the bottom.
All right, now layers or elements that he's got to have. If he's going to use obviously the kitchen waste, then what else does he need to have in there?
You got to have carbon-rich material, what we call brown material. There's an old nursery rhyme that really describes it real well. Two parts brown to one part green keeps everything healthy and smelling clean.
And that smell is obviously indicative of whether you're doing the right thing or not.
You're right. Compost does not smell. It smells like the forest floor, rich, earthy smell.
It's a good example. It smells like you're in the forest.
Yeah.
I like that analogy. That works for me. You talk about aeration, and you say you don't want to wall it off. Compost tumblers, well, they're not filled with holes, so how are they aerating people that buy the compost tumblers?
Well, they actually do have aeration holes. It's actually funny, Randy. A number of years ago, I bought one of the big ones that came on the market, $500, and I had my son go out with a little wagon, get grass and leaves, and we loaded that sucker up. The first thing they don't tell you, you got to turn that bin 3 or 4 times a day.
Oh, no, really? That many times?
Well, you have to turn 3 or 4 revolutions.
Oh, okay. I got you.
But they don't tell you to make one revolution. You got to turn the crank about 30 times.
Gotcha.
So the first day I was out there for 15 minutes turning that crank to get it to spin. Then after about a week, every other day, then every fourth day, and after about a month, it was in the green sheets.
Okay. Question came in on email. I've had this before.
Uh-huh.
Let's get ahead of this. People that use maybe a cheap mulch.
Yeah.
And I've seen this where maybe a bag of soil is laid on a pile of mulch in a bed. You lift the bag up months later, or you get into that mulch that wasn't really high compost level of mulch, and there's white fibrous, there's white stuff everywhere. What is that white?
That is a fungus trying to break it down.
So it's actually a beneficial fungus.
Most likely, but yeah.
Saprophytic type fungus?
Yeah, could be. It just, there's thousands of
but
species.
But you know what I'm talking about? Like you dig into an unkept garden, and there's it's just matted mulch. And you dig into that, and there's this whitish stuff 2-3 inches down underneath.
Right,
there.
That's fungus, usually because particularly like bark mulches become hydrophobic. They repel water. They'll get too dry, and you don't get the bacteria and other things you need for healthy breaking down of the organic material. So all you get is fungus, and that's why the white stuff grows.
Quick break. You know what? I got to do this to you. I hate to put you on the spot. The board is absolutely full, and we only have 15 more minutes left in this hour. Would you stick around till the top of 10 o'clock?
Yeah. Be glad to.
I'm not trying to put you on the spot here, okay? If you have to go for church or anything like that,
nope,
you feel
I'll
free.
I'll be glad to. I cleared my schedule,
Randy. Well, I'll tell you what. We're out of control here on the board, and the emails are rolling in, so maybe we can get everything out. And I have 15 more questions myself for you.
Well, good. Let's
go. All right, let's get after it. Off to this break. This is Randy Lemon. I am on the Garden Line along with John Ferguson today from Nature's Way Resources. This is the Garden Line. I'm Randy Lemon. That's John Ferguson along for the rest of the ride this morning, which is good news for you, D-Child. That means we got two we can replay later. All right. The full board. Let's just get to it.
Let's go, right?
Here is Zach in Houston. Morning, Zach. You're on News Radio 740 KTRH.
Morning, gentlemen. I got two quick questions for you. I'm having an ash tree in my backyard that I'm taking down, and the stump has to be grinded. Is there anything I can do with those shavings that are going to be excess?
Yes.
Put them in a compost pile. Use them as mulch.
They are okay. I heard y'all talk about rubber tree earlier, and I didn't know if those would apply or not.
No, we were talking about rubber mulch, not rubber tree. We were talking about rubber mulch as a mulch. We just don't recommend mulch, rubber mulch in a landscape bed. Here's the thing. Don't take the sawdust, the shavings, and use them as a mulch. You have to compost them first.
Yeah, it's much better if you... Healthy, fertile soil that has very few insect or disease problems has 30 carbon atoms to 1 nitrogen. The raw wood from a trunk of a tree is 300 to 500 to 1. So if you put down very much of it, it pulls nitrogen. The microbes pull nitrogen from the root, stresses the plant, and you get insect and disease problems as a result.
By the way, let's back up. 2 parts brown, 1 part green. This is a green, isn't it? Is it a green element?
This would be a brown.
This
wood,
is a brown,
brown,
even though it's wood. Rich in the nitrogen, or pulling the nitrogen?
Because it is pulling, it's brown. Brown are the things that have high carbon to nitrogen ratio.
When it has that high of that ratio, do we have to be very careful, though, even in a compost pile, the ratio of brown to green?
You need to add things like grass cuttings, food waste, manures, things that have very low carbon to nitrogen ratio to provide the nitrogen for the microbes to combine with it to break it down.
All right. We've talked compost, and one of the things I asked you to come talk about, and I actually noticed it's in this book, this great new book you gave me, Teeming with Microbes. Compost tea, making your own compost tea. Can we, at the top of next hour, in the very first 5 minutes, go through a tutorial on making compost tea?
Be glad to. I actually bought another book I want to talk about. It's called The Compost Tea Brewer's Manual. It's now out by Dr. Elaine.
Oh, Elaine. Very good.
She is the expert, right? Yep, the leading expert in the world.
Yeah, she is. She's more into this than John. I know that's not possible in your mind, y'all, but she's more into this than John's ever been, and she's the I guess world-renowned expert at compost and compost teas, right?
Correct.
All right. The name of it, Compost Tea Brewing Manual?
Yep. It's 5th edition.
You can get it at Nature's Way Resources,
yep.
I'm sure.
Yep.
Could you get it online somewhere?
It's available online from www.soilfoodweb.com.
All right. Oh, by the way, this seems counterintuitive to me, but one of the authors of Teeming with Microbes, listen to this, everybody, he's a lifelong Alaskan gardener. I'll let y'all fill the punchline there. Come on, Alaskan gardener.
Yep, there's actually
counterintuitive.
There's actually a section of the southern Alaska coast that had great growing season 5-pound turnips and stuff.
But I do love this. And by the way, this is Wayne Lewis, lifelong Alaskan gardener. And this, now, get serious for a second. He's worked with all these people like Jeff, the other author, on many projects over the past 20 years, including the new national Plant a Row for the Hungry program, started in Anchorage, Alaska, of all places, which seems like we should be doing it in places like Texas more than that. The Plant a Row for the Hungry program, which encourages gardeners to donate a portion of their harvest to charitable organizations in their community. Great idea.
Yep.
Just a great idea.
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's get one more call in, then we got to take a break. Here is Vernon in Lake Jackson. Good morning, Vernon.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How can I help you?
Very simple. I want to start a compost pile, bed, whatever you want to call it. Is it better to have it located in a sunny area, shady area, or does it really make any difference?
Great question.
Makes very little difference. The biggest thing is to get the pile big enough that you'll get some heat buildup, you know, at least 4 foot in diameter, and keep it moist, about 50% moisture, like a wet sponge.
Okay.
If you get it too wet, it goes bad on you. If you get it too dry, it just shuts down, doesn't work. So if you do those
Alrighty.
Things, if you have that in the sun, if you keep it moist, you're not, no problem.
I guess if it's in the sun, it's going to dry out a little more. You have to add more water. There's your kind of parallel that you have to make on that. You know, I always said if I wrote a compost pile or a chapter in a book about compost pile, I was always going to title it A Big Pile of ...
Yep. Yeah, it's funny about the water. Like, we evaporate 15,000 to 20,000 gallons per day.
By the way, think about this, Daniel. Here's a little quiz for you. My favorite bumper sticker of all time, to this day, I used to have one on my truck, but I don't have the truck anymore. My favorite bumper sticker of all times has to do with compost. Do you know what it is?
I can guess.
Okay,
I know what
take
mine
a little,
is.
Take a little break, and I'm going to give D-Child a chance to answer this. My favorite bumper sticker of all times, and I had it for years on the back of my truck, has to do with compost. Do you know what it is? Maybe someone call in with an answer. I might give them a little prize or something. This is The Garden Line on News Radio 740 KTRH. This is The Garden Line on News Radio 740 KTRH. I'm Randy Lemon. John Ferguson along for the ride, and I put him to put the screws to him. He's going to stick around for a little while longer, everything. Remember we were talking about the weeds popping up in the compost? Because I'm using, like, two-year-old leaf mold compost as a mulch everywhere now.
Right. A lot of
I love
do.
It. It stays darker longer. I'll give you the positive benefit there. And I know it's adding to the, of course, it's making things grow crazy, like trees around there. Okay, well, I mentioned the weeds in the landscape part, but I don't see those same weeds around the tree circle of mulch like I do in the landscape bed.
Okay, most of the weed species, or the species we call weeds, like soils dominated by bacteria. When the compost is around a tree, the tree roots put out what we call root exudates. That encourages extreme fungal development. They like 1,000 times more fungus in the soil than they do bacteria.
Which is why they like the mycores.
Bingo. In fact, they're much healthier with it. So when the tree root exudates are putting out these foods to feed the fungus population explodes. Weeds don't like that. So they go away naturally.
I guess my question about what's my favorite bumper sticker of all times, period, it has the word compost in it, not much of a secret. I got three emails, even Rob from Lake Hardware.
Oh, good for Rob.
He's just telling everybody. But I'll let Beverly from Seabrook, who called us earlier, I guarantee she knows the answer to that. What is it, Beverly?
It's compost happens.
Compost happens, baby.
That's right.
You know, I had some lady kind of pull me aside one day and goes, I can't believe how offensive that bumper sticker is on your – I'm like, you just don't get it, ma'am, do you? Because it really does. You know, compost has to happen. Now, I ain't giving you nothing, Beverly. You win too much in the past.
Oh,
already.
That's fine. No All problem. Right. But also, I think he should be the mystic of microbes.
I like the maestro of microbes. We had that suggestion a little while ago. The maestro of microbes.
Yeah, that's great.
I like that one, too. So we're still looking for these. Oh, by the way, Dennis terms this parallel alliteration. Parallel, he made up the word. Parallel alliteration when we come up with these alliterations for names and you know, the pontiff of Plumeria, that okay. kind of stuff. Compost happens. It means so much more than just trying to make a play on the old, you know, surly bumper sticker. But
right.
You know, let's define that in 30 seconds here. To get really good compost, it has to happen.
Correct.
It takes time.
Everything in nature that's organic was once alive will, over time, break down, die, rot, and turn back into humus in the soil.
And it takes that little life
right.
cycle.
Yeah. Like a log in a forest may take 4 or 5 years, while lease or animal dropping may be gone in just a few days.
Okay. I may go over a couple of these points. When we come back next hour, we're going to get into compost tea, maybe a kind of a short course. 5 minutes worth. Short course on doing compost tea, sure. and maybe the benefits of that for everybody out there. The new book he introduced us to, called Teeming with Microbes, Gardener's Guide to the Soil Food Web. And you mentioned the website that I know you could probably get this at, too, that you can get the compost brewing manual.
Right.
The website is?
www.soilfoodweb.com. That's Dr. Elaine Ingram's website.
All right. And John Ferguson's website?
www.naturewayresources.com.
A couple of things we may go back over that we already hit last hour, just quick
sure.
hits when we come back. Cost effectiveness of the top quality compost, because mm-hmm. I get chewed out via email saying, I can't believe how much is, you know, this compared to. Let's go over that again, just to give everybody stuff. Already covered the white stuff in the compost. That was an email that came in. We're going to do compost tea. We talked about the book. And we talked about the difference that you and I have from 10, 12 years ago. It's not about organics. It's about the biology of the soil.
Correct.
I loved how you termed that. When you and I were in college, it was all about what?
Chemistry and physics.
Now, it should all be about the biology. So lots more to talk about. If you've got a compost question, a mulch question, you know, Texas native mulch, those kind of stuff, soils, rose soil. That's one thing we have. That's when you get into rose soil when we come back. How about that? I'm going to make a note here.
Okay.
And we'll do all that with John Ferguson and Nature's Way Resources coming right up. This is The Garden Line. I'm Randy Lemon. That's Daniel Childers. He's the first person you talk to when you call 713-212-KTRH.